Hey, kids, we're a couple of annoyed grunt boys, and this is the 138th Simpsons Podcast.
Dragon in the dungeon, maiden in my lair, there's potions in my wizard's pot, now drink it if you dare, loot solo!
That's right, we're the show that explores the animated sitcom The Simpsons, but we explore seasons 11 and beyond. Why? Well, we know that there are other podcasts out there that explore the Golden Age, seasons 1 through 10, and we want to find the goodness that hides in those later years, some of those later years being, you know, 20 years old. But we'll find them, and we'll laugh, or cry, or be indifferent. But I can't be indifferent by myself, because I'm not very good. So I'm half an annoyed grunt boy, Steve, and with me, as always...
half an annoyed grunt boy, Craig.
Hey, Craig.
This is the most riveting intro of all time.
Yeah.
Steve, you sound depressed over there.
No, I'm super.
Low energy, Steve, everyone. Steve, I haven't had food in like over 24 hours.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I think I'm intermittent fasting. Is that what you're doing? Is that what I'm doing?
I think so. Yeah, that's what it sounds like. I mean, are you choosing to do this or are you like under a witch's spell?
I think... all of it.
So you are under a witch's spell.
Which old witch?
That old witch. The one from the beach. The sandwich.
Anyway, we're not
let's talk about May 15th, 2005.
I think we were watching movies and listening to music.
Oh, yeah. Those good old days. Craig, what was the number one movie in the box office?
It was Monster in Law.
Spooky.
I think it's about, well, Godzilla moves to New York and he, you know, is trying to fit in and he meets a woman, I think, played by Jennifer Lopez.
Oh, yeah.
So he meets Jennifer Lopez and they fall in love. They're co-workers, right? She's in fashion. Let's say she's in fashion and he's a new fashion designer. Godzilla is.
Right.
So they start, you know, a relationship and, well, Jennifer Lopez's character decides that she wants her parents to meet her soon to be. Oh, Godzilla proposes, by the way, and she accepts.
Of course. Yeah.
So Godzilla also has a work buddy played by Adam Scott, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
And so they're going to meet the parents soon. That's why it's Monster in Lobby.
Right.
Jane Fonda will be the mom. Right. Jennifer Lopez's mom, I think.
That sounds about right. And King Kong is the father-in-law.
As played by Will Arnett.
Exactly. All right. King Kong.
Do you remember that movie then? Monster in Law.
Yeah. It was very scary.
Well, that was the number one movie, Steve.
Alrighty. Do you want to know what the number one Hot 100 song was that the kids were bopping to?
Yeah.
Well, it happened to be Hollaback Girl by Gwen Stefani.
Do you think those kids that were bopping also sang this song?
I sure hope so. Let's find out.
This might be, you know how that song starts, like, it's my shit, right? Gwen says that.
Yeah.
Will this be the first song where the kids say a swear word?
I hope so. I hope they just cuss up a storm.
All right, enough teasing. Here we are.
Wow.
Yeah, they didn't swear.
Made me realize how much they say the word shit in that song. Yeah. Like every other word is like, okay.
Yeah. Do you prefer the kids bop or the Gwen Stefani bop?
Well, I think that if she got her her fiance or husband, the country guy.
Toby Maguire.
Yeah, to duet with her, then that would be fun.
Wait, did they do that?
I don't know. Yeah. It seems like something they would do.
What was the commercial they were just in?
For The Voice?
No, it was like
a Super Bowl commercial, probably?
Yeah, there was a Super Bowl commercial. That was kind of funny.
Yeah.
I forgot what it was, but...
clearly it worked.
I wanted to buy a Ford or something. What were you watching?
We were watching season 16, episode 21, The Father, the Son, and the Holy Guest Star. So when Bart is wrongfully expelled from school, he is sent to a parochial school where he befriends a hip priest named Father Sean, voiced by one Liam Neeson.
All right. How about that? We watch that and come back and discuss.
Sounds like a plan. We'll be right back. And we're back. Today we're talking about The Father, the Son, and the Holy Guest Star. It is the 21st episode of the 16th season. It originally aired on May 15th, 2016. It is episode 356 in the show's run. Your nerd code is GABF09. It was written by Matt Warburton, directed by Michael Pulcino, and your showrunner is Al Jean.
Matt Warburton. I feel like we just did an episode with him.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Mo and Lisa. That was like a couple episodes back.
Yeah.
We've also done, Please Homer, Don't Hammer Him. Have we done that one?
I don't think so.
I always bring that up for some reason. Yeah. Hammer, don't hurt them.
Please don't hurt them.
Three Days of Condo, of course. And we also mentioned that he was a producer on the Mindy Project, worked on Community. And Steve is annoyed that because he's almost our age. So this episode he wrote in 2006. So we'll say he wrote in 2005. So he would have only been like 26 when he wrote this episode. Steve, what were you doing when you were 26? I don't even know why I'm like trying to shame you, because I was in the same boat as you.
Probably in the same apartment as me.
We were probably making pizzas or something.
Yeah.
Oh no, I would have. Yeah, no.
I was probably a barista.
Yeah, I was going to school.
Luckily, I outgrew that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you upgraded to alcohol beverages. Oh, wait, no, you still do. Okay.
Yeah, I do both.
Slinging some booze and coffee to people every morning.
If you want to need to pee, come see me.
So the title reference, of course, is to the Christian sign of the Holy Cross and the same name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Nice.
So, Steve, who was the father?
Let's see. Bill Cosby.
All right, who's the son?
Theo.
And the Holy Ghost.
Roach. Cockroach.
Or spirit.
Or that fat kid. The fat white kid.
No, the spirit, Steve.
Oh, the Jell-O pudding pops.
Steve, spirits are also known as alcohol.
Oh, right. It's the booze that he used to drug the women.
Yeah. The basement office.
Exactly.
Wasn't the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost Richie Valens, the Big Bopper? And
hello, baby.
Who's the other guy that died?
Buddy Holly.
Buddy Holly. Bopper, that's it. Yeah. Why? One of the most famous one, Buddy Holly. I forget. Yeah,
the guy from Weezer.
Yeah, Rivers Cuomo.
Yeah. Ooh, that new album.
I haven't listened to it. Steve,
do you like strings?
like a string cheese or yarn?
Well, it might as well be. It's just a lot of. There's imagine like a mediocre Weezer album, but there's violins behind it.
Yeah,
every song.
I don't think I think the last Weezer album I listened to was the green one.
Yeah, that's probably about right. The best. Yeah. So the Father, Son, and Holy Guest Star is listed as the 20th episode of the season's The Simpsons 16th season, although there's some confusion there because it was originally supposed to air on April 10th, but instead aired on May 15th because Pope John Paul II died. And because this episode revolves around Catholicism, they thought it would be in bad taste.
Yeah. So when we spin the wheel to find out what we're watching next week, we always just plug in like season 16, episode 21, and Google just tells us.
Yeah.
But then we went to the Disney Plus to like watch it. And it's like, wait, no, it's something else. The 21st episode.
Right. So it's a little confusing.
But hopefully you guys watched the right episode. If you didn't, 15 Hail Marys and 45 All Our Fathers.
Yeah. And 13 How Do You Do's. I don't know what Catholicism does.
What we learned this episode is you can do whatever you want. And I guess that's not it. We'll find out.
Yeah. So we start off, as we often do, with a couch gag. The family floats into the living room as parade balloons. Snowball 2 is freaked out by the Homer balloon and swipes at it, causing it to pop and soar through the air, deflating.
Well, with that fun little couch gag, Steve. Cute.
Yeah, that's cute. Nice and short. Like we just had them as parade balloons.
No.
Okay.
But the episode does begin at our favorite elementary school. It sounds weird.
Your favorite, maybe.
It's where all the wackiness happens, Steve.
Yeah.
Mrs. Crabapple announces that Friday the school will be holding a medieval festival. So like Lord of the Rings, right?
Unfortunately not, Craig. It's nothing like Lord of the Rings.
I think you would have been happy then.
Yeah, it would be interesting.
if this was written now, Nelson would have said, like, Game of Thrones?
That's what I was thinking, too, yeah.
Well, but no. So every student has a role for this medieval festival, and the event, or, you know, everyone's been selected.
Can't we just keep going forward in our textbooks?
No! No, I've already assigned each of you a role in the medieval court. Martin, you shall be our king.
I shall pattern my reign on Angerand the Seventh, Sire de Coucy. Traloo, tralee!
Not so fast, Nelson. You're one of King Martin's guards. Ha ha!
You'll pay for this, my liege. What am I gonna be? Black Knight? Court Ninja? Bart the Impaler!
Bart, you'll be playing the village cooper.
What kind of a knight is that?
It's the kind of knight that makes barrels and isn't a knight. Ha!
Ay, caramba. Well, this stinks. But I bet Lisa got something even stupider. Huh?
Now, as queen, you shall be entitled to eat the same French fries the teachers do.
The ones made from potatoes?
The very same.
What are the kids eating instead of potato?
Oh, I don't know.
Probably something healthier. Maybe it's parsnips.
Yeah.
You could turn a parsnip into a fry. I used to do it all the time when I was on keto.
I've heard of cauliflower tater tots, so...
Oh, yeah, those are good.
Yeah, maybe it's like a... And they also blend up... broccoli too.
I love a broccoli tot.
I haven't had it. I could see that working though.
It's it tastes fine, but it's just never so good. But now nice. I eat potatoes again, so it doesn't matter.
Yay for potatoes.
I love me some potatoes.
Hi.
This is probably not gonna be the last time we're gonna be doing an Irish accent this episode.
I maybe think not.
There's something that Bart said, can we just go to the next chapter or next lesson? Like, I feel like that was a thing, like, as a kid, I wanted to do.
Yeah.
Like, maybe, like, math, like, I don't like these fractions. Can we do something else?
Right. Or, like, sometimes we just spend, like, an inordinate amount of time, like in a history class, like, let's talk about the Oregon Trail. It's like, we know.
We talk about every grade from
there's nothing more to learn.
12. Yeah.
Like, I feel bad for people on the East Coast of America who have to learn about, like, the Revolution over and over again. But at least that covers, like, several people. We learned that Lewis and Clark traveled because Thomas Jefferson told them to, and then they met Sacagawea. And that's it.
That's probably what the kids on the East Coast are taught about the Oregon Trail. Hey, you kids that were raised that not in Oregon or Washington, did they cover the Oregon Trail? Just let us know at 13simpsons@gmail.com.
Yeah, please do.
I'd be interested because, yeah, I mean, we were just... Well, based on like what I've listened to in podcasts, a lot of people did get to play the game, the Oregon Trail, and that's all they knew. So maybe that's what teachers like, just play this game and you'll learn about the Oregon Trail.
That would have been so nice.
But we played it a lot.
Yeah.
Next to like Number Munchers. And remember Number Munchers?
I do.
And wasn't there like Word Munchers maybe?
I feel like there was.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're in the gymnasium here, Steve.
Mm-hmm.
We have some kids there. They're all prepping for the medieval fair. We got decorations, banners, coat of arms. And then we see a coat of arms made by Milhouse. But I bet it also could have been made by Steve here.
Maybe.
Yeah. His old pal, Peter Parker, the old web slinger himself. That's right. Spiderman. He's in a croissant. Steve, what's a croissant? I forget.
Well, it means laying down.
Oh, okay. Thanks. To prove that he's learned a new vocabulary word, this is Nelson, not Steve. But I learned it too, so hey,
right.
There we go.
We all learned something.
So Nelson asked that question, of course, what a couchant is. Anyways, to prove that he's learned a new vocabulary word, he pushes the blue-haired dweeb, known as Milhouse, to the ground, where he inquires the definition of vert, telling Milhouse to say punching, though we all know it's green.
It's green, yeah. I do like that idea, though, of like kids, like if they were having like a medieval thing, like they put like Pikachu on it or Batman or something.
I feel like the Simpsons have like done medieval stuff maybe a couple times, but we never had anything in our school like about medieval culture.
No, I do remember in high school, there were a couple kids in my class who got to leave early, like one Friday every month to go to a Ren Fair, or maybe they didn't get to, but chose to.
Yeah, I know we have Ren Fairs, or I mean, everyone probably has some, but I don't know. I've never been.
Me neither.
It's like, I don't want to disparage anybody, but it's like Comic-Con, but for dorkier dorks.
Yeah, Did we have the idea, or is this somebody else's, of like getting Star Trek uniforms?
That's so weird. I was just going to say, if I went to a Ren Fair, I would dress as Star Trek with like tricorders and be like,
yeah,
Captain, these. No, I think that was like from something.
I think it might be.
But it might be. But why was I just thinking that right now?
Weird.
Or here'd be a good one. We should just dress like 1950s jocks and just big bullies.
It's our biggest nightmare. That's no dragon. It's Chad Jenkins. Yeah. He's much scarier.
I bet it'd be like insulting if you dressed up as like Lord of the Rings or like Game of Thrones characters. Be like, that's like not what we're all about, man. That's fantasy.
Yeah, we're unless for they, real.
Yeah, like we don't have dragons here. And the only thing I know from that is that movie, Role Models. Yeah,
yeah,
with the LARPing.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, everyone is getting on the historical fun. Even our favorite groundskeeper. Check his name. William.
Ah, yes,
William. Willie.
No, Willie, during the festival, you'll be wearing these urine-soaked rags. You're the village idiot. Now, allow me to apply this rubber cement to your face to represent the ravages of plague.
Ugh, my face! What drunken cold girl will have me now? Oh.
Now, peasants. Since the Middle Ages had no compact discs or Super Mario Men, people found entertainment in abusing the village idiot. So, let history come alive!
Yeah! Wait, let me take out my contact lenses! Gah! Gah! Pilt all you want, but revenge will be Willie's! Gah! That was a stapler!
You know, sometimes when Skinner, just be a real jerk to Willie, you know?
Yeah, it's true.
Condescend him. Feel bad for Willie. I have a weird theory.
Okay.
What if, here's an episode I'm going to pitch, ready?
All right.
All right, it's going to be our pitched episode. Bart moves to Scotland and he becomes the janitor for an elementary school. So he becomes essentially a Willie.
Ooh.
Because, you know, Willie pulls a prank on here, so.
Yeah.
And he'll find a Scottish boy to, you know, blame. What I'm trying to say is, like, what if Willie was Bart?
I like it.
In Scotland.
Ooh, that sounds good. I could watch that.
All right. I don't know what the B plot is. That's your job.
Lisa finds a puppy.
Were you just looking at a puppy?
Maybe. Lisa finds a book.
As an adult?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. She's an adult. That's right.
She's the Prime Minister of Canada for some reason.
Yes, and in the background, there's a burgeoning war between Scotland and Canada.
And then 20 years from now, Simpsons did it!
Exactly. The two countries are fighting about who gets America.
Yeah.
Like, neither one of them wants it.
Yeah, because by 2024, when Trump's elected president again, they'll just, like, start selling off states.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to move the White House to Florida.
Right.
Like, Mar-a-Lago will be the new White House.
He'll, like, sell Vermont first.
No, we're fucked in the West Coast.
Oh, yeah.
I think North Korea will own California, Oregon, and Washington.
Sure.
I think you're safe if you're in Texas under Trump's rule in 2024.
Yeah, Chancellor Cruz will take care of you.
Yes. While he's vacationing in Cancun.
Yeah.
Well, we'll be dead by then, so that's fine.
Yeah, it's all good. I couldn't care less. I do wonder, though.
Hmm.
One, I like the line about... the drunken call girls who wouldn't have us. but also, I wonder, he'll be wearing urine-soaked rags. Whose urine do you think that is?
You know how little kids in your elementary school aren't the best at flushing?
Okay.
Yeah. I'm just going to assume Smithers. That's weird. I would assume Skinner just like took rags into the bathrooms and just dunk them in the toilets or urinals.
Or probably even just on the floor.
Right. Oh, yeah, because kids can be bad pissers.
Yeah.
Wasn't it always so weird to see an adult in the elementary school bathroom?
Yeah, especially at the urinal.
Yeah. And he's like, just has his dick out and just is looking at you.
Mm-hmm.
He's not even peeing.
No.
He's just in the corner.
That's smoking weird. A cigarette and offering you a lollipop.
Let's continue.
Alrighty. So Otto plays a rock and lute tune to the court before setting it. His musical instrument on fire, Hendrix style. Queen Lisa calls for the cooper to bring more pink lemon ale, and Bart arrives with a barrel on his back, but due to his poor craftsmanship, his staves are not flush, so his barrel falls apart, causing Beveridge to spill all over him. He vows revenge towards his queen.
Otto there?
Yeah.
He sings on his lute. The lyrics that he sings on his lute are a metaphor for, get this, oral sex.
Huh.
It's not a tough metaphor, Steve. If you hear it, dragon in my dungeon, maiden in my lair, there's potion in my wizard's pot. Now drink it if you dare.
Hmm.
I also like to bring up the fact that the Beatles song, Octopus's Garden, is also about oral sex.
Huh.
Just think about it. Read the lyrics, guys.
Under the sea. Oh, yeah. It's filthy.
Just think about a dude going down on a woman. That's what Octopus's Garden is. That's my theory. I don't know if there's anything on the internet about it, but it's my theory.
Well, we all know that women have 8 tentacles down there.
I'm assuming.
Probably.
Maybe he's talking about Ursula from Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
Anyways, well, that was fun there, Otto. We have some guards there. They take Bart to the tower, which is actually the backseat of Skinner's Merkur, which is yet another vehicle in that old Moneybag Seymour seems to own. Yeah, he has like cars. He's like Mr. Miyagi, like, you know, in the Karate Kid movie. He has like Mr. Miyagi has all those cars in his lot and like makes Danielson clean them all. Ooh, that's a good, let's make that episode where we'll bring in all of Seymour's cars.
Uh-huh.
And Bart has to go to Skinner's and he cleans them, but you know, we do Karate Kid parody, but I don't know what it is that Bart's learning from Skinner.
Right. There's all sorts of opportunities for callbacks too, because you're like, Skinner can be like, make a game of it, see how many cars you can wash in 1 hour, then try and beat that time.
Yeah.
And we could have Jay Leno return, one, because he has a lot of cars, but two, him and Pat Morita were in that great movie together.
Oh, that's maybe like Jay Leno wants to buy one of Skinner's car because it's like a rarity, because it was something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But Bart wants to keep it as his, like how Danielson gets to keep one of the cars, but Bart wants to keep an 8-year-old or a 10-year-old boy. All right, I don't know about this. I call Matt Warburton up.
Alrighty.
Right now.
Okay.
Beep, boop, bop, boop, beep, beep, beep.
Hello.
Hey, Matt, can you write this episode for us?
Yeah, but I'll work on it with my brother.
All right, you don't even know what we're talking about, but thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Click.
So, Groundskeeper Willie is seeking revenge on those who mocked him, those who were kind to him, and the parents who took the time from their busy schedules to make the day such a success. He hates them all, and his revenge has taken the form of a giant pie full of mice. Queen Lisa, unaware of the dessert's content, dedicates to the backbone of the feudal system, the serfs. She then cuts in the pastry, and the rodents run wild.
Were you hoping that when Lisa stabbed the pie that she actually just, like, killed a couple?
It's like, blood shoots everywhere.
Just like her, like, being so sad that she murdered the mice.
It'd be horrifying.
And it was like, Lisa, why would you stab me?
Why does she sound like a lamb?
It seems like Bart would have pulled a prank like that.
I know.
Is this based off of like a fairy tale, the rats and the pie thing?
Kind of. I mean, it's like, maybe like a part of Pied Piper that they don't, you know.
Yeah. So because you would have to bake the pie crust first, because you can't bake rats, the rats and mice in there,
a pie. So yeah, you got to pre-bake the crust.
Anyways, let's segue from this. Sometimes on this podcast, we like to eat the foods that are served. Steve, I made you a pie for some reason.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I love pie. Let's take a bite here.
How is it?
I'm better than Cheesecake Factory.
Well, that was the thing I was alluding to, is I didn't know how I wanted mice to jump out, but apparently I cooked them all. So you're just eating minced mice pie.
High in protein, low in fat. I like it.
Oh.
Tastes kind of like cheese.
Well, I had to get them beefy and, you know, fat, so I'd fed them a lot of cheese.
Sure.
Yeah.
Could be the future.
Most likely will be.
Yeah. So Willie laughs maniacally as the mice nibble and gnaw at overstuffed buttocks of the school students and faculty. Bart warns Milhouse not to open his mouth, which Milhouse immediately does, resulting in several of the furry crawlers jumping into his gaping maw. Principal Skinner knows the act was intentional, and he thinks he knows who was responsible.
This is no accident.
Nice party, Dink.
You're responsible for this, Simpson.
No way! I didn't do it! Unlike all the other stuff I told you I didn't do, which I did.
Bart, I'm sick of playing the Tom Fool. You are hereby expelled from Springfield Elementary.
Boy, I can't believe you got expelled! Well, don't expect to spend all week lying around on the couch like a bum, 'cause that's my thing!
Bart, a school-sponsored medieval festival is supposed to be the best day of a young girl's life, and you ruined it! You deserve to be expelled.
I didn't do it. Mom, you believe me, don't you?
Bart, I love you, but sometimes I don't love your choices. Now we have to find another school for you.
And if you get kicked out of that one, you're going straight in the army, where you'll be sent straight to America's latest military quagmire. Where will it be? North Korea? Iran? Anything's possible with Commander Cuckoo Bananas in charge.
I don't remember much from this episode, but I remember watching this live and that line that Homer says, Commander Cuckoo Bananas.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we're referring to President George W. Bush.
Yes, yes.
I remember laughing pretty hard at that.
Yeah, it was a good line.
When I say before with the rats or the mice jumping in melon houses, I thought the animation of just that one giant one in Bart's
yeah.
was hilarious.
Yeah.
Cuckoo Bananas.
Cuckoo Bananas.
Because there was another episode too, President, like Homer called George W. Bush like President Stupid Monkey Face or whatever.
Yeah. It's a funny time it was back then when we all was like...
This was really kind of, well, I'm not saying the beginning of the end of the GOP of, okay, not political podcast. Kind of really started with Reagan.
Yeah. And Newt Nixon, Gingrich didn't really help.
Nixon was the last great Republican president, Steve.
One could argue.
But we're not here to argue about politics.
No.
Yet.
Right. Maybe in Act 3. Some trivia for you. This is the second time in the series that Bart has been expelled from school after Whacking Day, although Skinner did threaten to expel Bart in Brother's Little Helper.
It's funny because I feel like that's been like a trope for The Simpsons to use. It's like, let's expel Bart. But you're right. I guess it's only been a couple episodes or just the Whacking Day.
Yeah. I mean, he did leave the school for the military academy in season 9 or 10.
Yeah.
But he wasn't expelled.
Yeah. Well, we get the family together there because they got to find a new school for Bart. So we're looking for private schools. Marge points out Oakwood Academy, but that school's for the blind. But, you know, it would give him a leg up in the competition.
Yeah.
But I was like thinking about that, I'm like, huh, why didn't I get to go to the school for the blind? Or the school for the, I think actually it was the school for the blind and deaf, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I just think if there was a school for the deaf, I would go in as a undercover to see if the faculty is saying disparaging remarks to their students.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, Homer ponders if they can afford to send Bart to a private school and if they're just like uselessly throwing away money. And, you know, if they're doing that, they might as well get Grandpa a new pacemaker.
Abe then asks for 2 new batteries for his pacemaker, which Homer says to get them from the smoke detector. But then Marge worries about the possibility of a fire. And Homer confidently reassures her that the smoke will wake them up.
Homer says some stupid things in this episode, by the way.
Yeah, he does.
But Marge suggests that, how about St. Jerome's Catholic School, which Lisa points out it may be a good option because Catholic schools are some of the most affordable of the private schools. But also, if Bart acts up, not only will he get bad grades, he'll also go to hell.
Yeah, so it's a win-win.
Yeah.
Homer then laughs as Grandpa is hanging from the smoke detector, trying to take the batteries from it, when his pacemaker short circuits and begins to smoke, setting off the alarm. Classic Grandpa.
So then the family decide to head to that St. Jerome's, where we see a statue of the school's namesake has been erected, and the plaque reads, St. Jerome, he suffered for our sins. Now it's your turn. Also, gotta say, there's actually a lot of fun sign gags in this episode. And inside, Bart introduces himself to the new class in a nonchalantly way. Like, we've seen all the shtick, like, hi, Karamba, do the barman, et cetera, et cetera. And he walks down to his guest and plays a Game Boy there.
Yeah. So the nun teacher then smashes Bart's portable video game system, explaining that in the old days, they used a ruler to deal with such incorrigibles such as Bart. As the little Hellraiser dismisses her, she goes on to say that nowadays they use yardsticks. And so after he receives a rap on the knuckles from the yardstick, Bart moves 33 inches away. But much like many women in my life, Bart doesn't understand the importance of 3 inches. Bart is hit again with the 36-inch measuring tool.
Do you think Catholic nuns, are they still hit their students?
I mean, probably.
I mean, might as well.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
I don't think physical abuse is allowed.
No, probably not. But I mean, if we're going to talk about what Catholic priests do, that isn't allowed. I mean, we're going to have a long conversation.
Well, and they kind of mentioned that later in the episode.
Yeah.
Well, Steve, our second act begins just outside the classroom there, where the nun is giving a little talking to that little Hellraiser we call Bart. And then we're approached by our guest star.
I don't know what they taught you in public school, but at St. Jerome's, we don't tolerate back sass. Stretch out your arms like our Lord on the cross. Now hold these dictionaries. Now think what it would be like if you had nails in your hands.
Well, I guess they'd help me hold the dictionaries up.
Wrong answer! Kia!
Well, stupid Catholic school, suffering from my hip attitude. I'm the real Jesus here.
So, it's sacrilege you're spouting then.
What's it to you, Irish?
My name's Father Sean, and I used to be an ornery wee cuss myself. Until one day after a drunken brawl with my dad.
You're just like your mother. Can't take a punch.
I was laying in the gutter picking up my teeth when St. Peter himself appears before me. Sean, you wanker, he says. Repent of your wicked ways or sod off. Then he gubbed in my face and turned back into a streetlight. And that's how I came to the church.
Well, there's Liam Neeson there, Steve.
Yeah.
I think the line where he's describing how he met St. Peter is, of course, the Irish trope of physical abuse. You kind of get away with that joke now where he says...
You're just like your mother.
Yeah, you can't take a punch. Like, that was like, oof.
Yeah, that was real cringy.
I'll admit, I probably laughed when it originally aired.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at these kind of jokes these days, like...
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Like, abuse is not, you know, funny, so...
I will say that I did like Bart's response, though, when the nun was like, how would you like it if you had nails in your hands?
Yeah.
He's like, well, it'd help me keep the Bibles or the dictionaries up.
I also like how he says he should be the Jesus of the school.
Yeah.
I'm fine with those jokes, but when it comes to physical abuse.
Yeah, it's not great. Don't abuse people, anybody.
Just... And especially that line come from Liam Neeson, who a few years ago talked to, or it was leaked that he was drunk and talking about he wanted to go on the streets and just beat up every black guy he saw, right? Something like that. Yeah. Liam Neeson, what a big dick. Everyone knows about that, right?
I think so. If you don't, he's got a big old dick.
According to model Janice Dickinson.
No.
Of course it'd be Janice Dickinson. But she said that, like, she used to date him, and apparently, here's what she quoted by saying, he unzipped his pants and an Evian bottle fell out. It was insane. Wouldn't you just go gaga? He was amazing.
Huh.
Apparently, she also dated Jack Nicholson, and she said, let's just say the Joker was wild. Anyway, so there you go. So next time you see a Evian bottle, think of Liam Neeson.
I can't not. Also, the nurse. There's no nurse. The nun said, Kia. What is she, some kind of karate monster? That's a reference to an episode like 3 or 4 months ago.
That only our fans might remember.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Bart tells the Taken star that he's only at the school because he was blamed for a crime he didn't commit. The good Irishman, not that one, believes Bart, as a lot of church types started out as rotten wee buggers. He goes on to say that St. Augustine got his religious start by stealing pears. And a funny joke, I think Bart wonders, like, pears with what? Hubcaps, Reeboks, human eyes? Like, he did not know the concept of the fruit. But you know, that was kind of a weird joke, but I liked it.
Me too. I thought it was fun. And I think that could be a fun, really obscure tattoo of just on your arm, just have hubcaps, a pair of Reeboks, and a pair of human eyes. Why, that's from season 20 of episode 20 of season 16 of The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Don't you mean episode 21?
Oh, man. Someone's going to stop you on the street like that.
Yeah. Be awkward. So, as has been the case for centuries, the older priest gave the young boy a publication to read. But this time it wasn't pornography. It was a Lives of the Saints comic book, which has a cover featuring a muscular saint wrestling a lion with the caption that says, I forgive thee, now die.
The Father Sean then returns Bart to the classroom, claiming to have knocked the vinegar out of him. And he and Bart share a wink. So I'm assuming the sister thinks that he literally just beat the shit out of him.
Yeah.
But the sister continues her lesson plan, switching to math, specifically the word problems of our Lord, while she poses the question of Billy and Joseph and their penance, assuming that each swear word brings 1,000 years in hell.
Fuck, that's a long time.
Yeah. Fuck. Whoa. Shit. God damn it. Stop it, Steve. Fuck. Oh, now.
Aw, nerds.
Oh, that's like 2,000 years for saying nerds.
I know.
Damn it. Fuck.
Shit.
Kiss ass balls.
So Bart stops listening and dives into the religious comic where he learns of Saint Sebastian, a pious Roman soldier who was sent to death for preaching Christianity to the Romans. Bart then imagines a scene of a loincloth wearing saint tied to a tree about to be executed by a hail of arrows. The pariah slash superhero announces that it's payback time, and he flexes his chest, causing the arrows that impaled him to go deep into the Roman soldiers, one of them to their death, saying, as he dies, that he had wished he had gone to more orgies.
Steve, you read that passage like you were reading a romance novel.
I know. I don't know why. I just feel like Bart imagined it a little sexily.
I mean, there was orgies.
Yeah. I just feel like Saint Sebastian was real muscular and real... not wearing a lot of clothes.
But no, I mean, it's funny if you look at like the Christ on a cross, it's like he's got the six pack, he's got the V.
Yeah, the cum gutters.
The Lord is very sexual, Steve.
It's true.
Visually, I mean.
Yeah, he's hung more ways than one.
Anyways, Bart loves that story. It's far better than the comments he gets from the dentist, such as Dr. Shapiro versus Blackula. back at the Simpsons dinner table, Bart tells the family how much he enjoyed his day.
Then Father Sean quoted Eminem in his sermon. In an art class, we painted St. Joan burning at the stake, and mine was the grossest. Catholics rock!
Bart, I'm glad you had fun, but I wouldn't get too into that Catholic church. With all the sitting and standing and kneeling, it's like Simon Says without a winner.
Mom, that's blasphemy. I'll say a rosary for you.
Don't you touch bead one. Homer, maybe we should be concerned. Catholics can be a peculiar bunch. No birth control, no meat on Friday.
No meat? What do they eat, light bulbs?
Let's just change the subject. Bart, would you like to say grace?
Yes'm. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti.
Bart, what the hell are you saying?
That's Latin, Dad. The language of Plutarch.
Mickey Mouse's dog?
No, Plutarch. He chronicled the lives of the Roman emperors.
Oh, I didn't need that new fact. Now I forgot who won Bud Bowl 8. Boy, I'm pulling you out of that crazy school.
A few things from that clip, Steve.
Sure.
I'll just end it with Homer there. Homer is... I don't think any of those jokes really were that good.
No.
The light bulb thing? Like, you couldn't think of something funnier?
Yeah, it's... Yeah.
What do they eat, light bulbs? I don't know. Light bulbs in itself isn't that funny of a word.
No, and the imagery, like, although it's extreme, isn't that funny either. Like, even a shoe would have been funnier.
Yeah, or Arby's.
Yeah.
Which we could have implied that Arby's isn't meat. No, the only reason I say Arby's is, like, I think Bill Oakley's talked about that word. Like, they were never disparaging the Arby's. It's just a funny word to say, Arby's.
Yeah.
You say, like, light bulb. Like, I don't know. Like, it'd be like, what do they eat, onions? I don't know, but that's, like, right. Food.
Yeah, like, any other thing, like mufflers. I don't know. Yeah,
like, Homer, that's so stupid. Like, that's not a food thing. Like, I don't get that joke. I'm sorry.
No, it's clunky. I don't blame you. You're not wrong. It's funny that you mentioned Bill Oakley and Arby's, because right before we started to record tonight, he posted on his Instagram that he got this sweatsuit made of Arby's, not made of Arby's meat, but it's printed with Arby's meat on it, and it's called Meat Sweats.
That's funny.
Yeah. So I thought that was fun. Also in that clip, we should talk about Bart's drawing.
Pretty messed up.
Yeah.
What?
Why is there a Nazi plane on there?
Yeah, and a little kid drawing swastikas? I don't know. I'd be a little more concerned.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's another thing. I don't think they would do something like that. But it's weird because you highlight, it's like, that's my shirt. That's my shirt. I want that shirt. Like, in the notes. It's weird. I don't know, Steve. I think you might have to choose something else.
All right, fine.
Another stupid Homer thing, I guess, is like, now I forgot who won that Budweiser Bowl.
Yeah.
Even we know that, Steve.
I would say that I do, because
what?
Budweiser beat Bud Light 26-24, maintaining their title of 2 years.
Did they stop doing the Bud Bowl thing?
I believe Bud Bowl 8 was the final Bud Bowl.
Wow. Now they just have Coke Zero Bowl. No, I don't know. Who cares?
Yeah. I do have a blunder for you.
Cool.
Lisa states that Latin is Plutarch's language. However, Plutarch happened to be Greek, and he wrote in Greek during the Roman Empire, so...
Boy, I really hope somebody got fired for that blunder.
Anyway, Steve, we continue with the episode here. Homer heads to St. Jerome's, ready to give Father Sean a piece of his mind.
Ooh.
Yeah, so he hops out of the car and past a crowd of people to confront the priest. But before Homer can speak, he's distracted by the smell of the school's monthly pancake dinner, Father Sean invites Homer in to join in on the meal.
Ooh. So amazed by the miracle of turning breakfast into dinner, Homer gets on his knees and begins to pray to Log Cabin, which is a gross syrup, which we've talked about, and other breakfast condiments while he is slapped on the head with a yardstick by Sister Thomasina. Inside, Springfield's Catholic population, including Bumblebee Man, Mayor Quimby, Luigi, and all of the mob, enjoy flapjacks while Homer tries to talk to the priest, but is distracted by a game that shares its name with a dog.
All pancakes aside, I really came here to talk about my son.
I understand, but can I wait till after bingo?
Bingo? That's my favorite game. I just can't remember what to yell out when you win.
Bingo.
That's my favorite game. I just can't remember what to yell out when you win.
Oh, how about you just say, yay, I won.
Bingo!
I've never seen such masterful bingo playing. What's your secret, Homer?
You have to cheat. Listen, is it true you priest guys can't ever, you know?
I'll admit the vow of celibacy is one of our sterner challenges.
Celibacy? I was talking about the meat on Friday thing. Man, you guys got more crazy rules than Blockbuster Video.
Well, that's true. But if you do break a rule, you can always find absolution in the sacrament of confession.
Wait. No matter what I did, no matter how many people lost their pensions, it's forgiven like that?
If you truly repent, then yes.
Okay, let's make some magic here. I wiped a booger on your shirt. I made a dog and a cat kiss. I swiped a bolted down TV from a Holiday Inn. I coveted the wife in Jaws 2. I lied to a waiter. I masturbated 8 billion times, and I have no plans to stop masturbating in the future. Woohoo! I'm clean! In your face, Lord!
Steve likes to unpack lots of things in that clip there. I think the bingo joke is not good either.
No. When you're talking about Homer saying dumb things, that immediately would pop into my mind. It, like, they're trying for like a playful like Abbott and Costello thing, but it's not that funny.
No.
But yeah, it's just it's just a lot of dumb jokes. I did like him listing all of the things that he did. I thought that was fun.
The one funny thing was that he covered the wife of Jaws 2. Right? Is that what I heard?
Yeah.
But that's the same wife from Jaws 1, and then all the, like, Jaws, well, she was in Jaws 3, but she was in Jaws 4, but still.
Maybe he found her to look incredibly, especially hot in the second one.
Lauren Gary.
Hmm.
Ellen Brody. You know that was her last role, was Jaws 3, or
really?
Jaws 3 Revenge, yeah.
Huh, I did not know that.
And she's still alive.
Mm-hmm. She just kind of hung up the acting.
She's like, well, I did the worst Jaws movie, and now I'm going back to my home planet. She probably does. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe she does. Let me see what she does now. Yeah, she felt obliged to come out of her self-imposed retirement from the Jaws sequels, but has done little since. She's married to MCA president Sid Sheinberg.
Hmm.
All right, well, good for her. She's like, yeah, fuck it.
Yeah, I mean,
probably raise family. And all right, well, there we go. What else from that clip, Steve?
Yeah, Homer cheating at bingo.
I think that was an okay line.
Yeah. I like the fact that you whispered to a priest about that.
Well, so when Homer was like, and I've masturbated, you know, keep masturbating, that, you know, at the end of that, then there should have been like an end tag of like, oh, I also cheated at bingo.
Yeah. Oh, that's actually a really good, yeah, that's a really good button on everything.
Yeah. I love a button on a joke, Steve.
Would have tied up that clip a lot nicer. Father Sean explains to Homer that his newfound freedom isn't as simple as it appears. He can only absolve Homer if Homer becomes Catholic. Homer asks how to join, hoping it'll just be wailing on some Unitarians. But the man of God explains that you have to begin by looking inside yourself. But it ends with bread and wine.
Mm. So we're back at 7482 Evergreen Terrace, and Homer sneaks in and sits at the kitchen table, and Marge wonders where he's been all night, and if he's accepted someone else as his personal something. Homer tells his wife that he intended to yell at the priest, but he's just too cool. And you know that he even plays drums in a band with a bunch of other priests?
Ooh, awesome. So Marge is upset knowing that the Catholics would try to convert Homer, because that's what they do. She then declares that she's not having 12 more kids, to which Homer counters with the offer of 9 or 10 tops. He then shows her a brochure titled Plop Till You Drop, but Marge isn't interested, remembering that she attended a Catholic wedding once and the incense ruined her pantsuit. Homer doesn't understand how somebody could get so upset over religion.
Do you think Marge is weird in this episode?
Yes.
Okay. Should we just save that till the end?
Yeah, I mean, especially towards the end, she's just kind of a shitty parent.
Yeah, this episode. Anyways, I think Marge would want more kids.
Yeah.
Homer's the one who wouldn't want kids.
Right, because you would have more no money.
But anyways, for some reason, we see Springfield Shopper spitting in a newspaper with a headline, "Local father, son may switch religions." Which is kind of funny, actually.
Yeah.
And then this montage is pretty good because it starts out with Homer and Bart. They're lighting prayer candles. Check. You know, good. Mm-hmm. Catholic stuff. And they're praying with a rosary. Check. Catholic stuff.
Sure.
Headed to the Frying Dutchman for Friday fish special. Check. Mm-hmm. Which the Catholics don't even recognize the no meat on Friday.
No, they stopped that a long time ago. Though weirdly, my dad didn't. So for like, I think that in the 40s or 50s, the Catholic Church said, unless it's like Good Friday.
Right.
But for some reason, my dad stuck with it, even though he's barely Catholic. Yeah. So for most of my life growing up, I didn't eat meat on Fridays.
Unless fish.
Yeah. We also had this weird sandwich called that they called Bibles, which was like a pita bread sandwich with cream cheese, avocado, black olives, mushrooms, and bean sprouts.
That literally sounds like the grossest thing, because I don't like olives.
Uh-huh.
I'm not a big cream cheese guy.
Uh-huh.
I don't like a raw mushroom. I like them sauteed in butter.
Right, which these are raw.
Yeah. Sprouts are fine. Pita bread's fine. Just give me the pita bread and the sprouts and I'm good.
Yeah, I mean, I liked it, but it could use a little spicing up. It's a little plain.
Yeah. Well, in that montage here, my favorite part after the Friday fish special, all of a sudden we just see Homer and Bart dressed as like 40s gangsters laughing maniacally and just like shooting Tommy guns, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we see mounds of pancakes and being a cards reference to earlier. So I just, I think that was pretty good absurdity of just like the mafioso.
Right.
Like, out of nowhere. That was good.
Yeah. We then head to the First Church of Springfield, where the marquee asks, "Are you James the Lesser type or are you James the Greater?" Which is probably a religious thing, but I don't understand.
Well, that was what I was saying, like with the Tommy gun, like the gangster thing, was that supposed to be like religious? Like, because, you know, like the mob is very Catholic.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. After the service, the congregation gossip as to why Marge is at church alone.
Marge is here all alone.
I heard her son is Catholic now. Her husband, too.
Marge, all by yourself today?
Well, Homer and Bart are, well, they're under the weather.
Mm-hmm, under the weather. Or under the spell of a man in a pointy white hat.
All right, I admit it. They're both at the Catholic Church. Reverend, what should I do?
Marge, this calls for an emergency meeting of the church's spiritual council. To Stuckey's! Bart and Homer can't go Catholic. The Romans have been separate from us since the Schism of Lourdes in 1573, and that was about our holy right to come to church with wet hair, which we've since abolished.
I guess it's good that they're taking an interest in spirituality.
Oh, spirituality's great, Marge. Hey, I'm Mr. Spiritual, but remember, a different faith means a different afterlife.
I liked Reverend Lovejoy's reading there. Like, Mr. Spirituality. Yeah. I thought that was fun. So Marge then imagines meeting St. Peter in Protestant heaven, full of polo-shirted yuppies playing croquet. She then wonders where Homer and Bart are, only to look over to see Catholic heaven. So as the song Mexican Hat Dance plays, we see several Mexicans in kind of stereotypical garb dancing to the problematic tune. We then go to more stereotypes as we see an Italian family enjoying a traditional meal of spaghetti meatballs with a bottle of Chianti wrapped in the wicker atop the white and red tablecloth. And then the parade of stereotypes continues with a bunch of drunken Irish people cheering as two redheaded men, one in a Notre Dame sweatshirt, the other in a Boston sweatshirt, brawl on the ground. Kind of not great.
I think I would prefer Catholic heaven over Protestant heaven.
I would agree. It seems like a lot more fun.
They're all drinking, having fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's they're in the sombreros, but...
Also, the food would be way better.
Oh, yeah. Just Mexican and Italian. That's
and potatoes.
That's pretty much all I want to eat.
Exactly.
We go to Bart and Homer, who are blindfolded and trying to hit a pinata. Bart smacks Homer with a baseball bat, and he's delighted to learn that in heaven, it actually feels good.
Hmm.
So then Homer beats his head repeatedly. They should have had a scene where like Homer then starts hitting his junk. Like, oh, this has been good too. Anyways, we get Michael Flatley, you know, the guy from Lord of the Dance,
mm-hmm.
that craze that was hot for, I think he was already died out by this time when it aired.
I would say so, yeah.
Yeah. He invites all the heavenly gobs to join him for a jig. And the deceased flail their legs, move their, never move their arms. And Marge looks on, wishing to be with her family. Yeah, that scene, that was a little meh.
Yeah, I agree. It was just, it felt a little long.
Yeah.
Because it's still going, and Marge asks one of her preppy cloud mates to speak to Jesus. But he's joined the Catholics as Homer and Bart toss their Lord and Savior into the air with a blanket as the Son of Christ asks to be put down. Marge screams back to reality, and Reverend Lovejoy vows to get Marge her men back. Marge, Flanders, and Lovejoy then spy on Bart as Homer and Bart study for their first communion.
Don't worry, Marge. We'll get your boy back. Excuse me. That better be decaf.
The rim is orange, ain't it? Or does under-tipping make you colorblind?
Her husband sleeping with her sister. Who said that?
So now, what do we call it when the communion wafer becomes the body of Christ?
Hey!
Yes, Homer?
Transubstantiation.
Very good.
He cheated. He's got it written on his arm.
Welcome to the jungle, Kevin.
First communion?
Oh, we've got to stop them now. Once they seal the deal, there's no turning back. Just like the Jews with their snippity snip.
All right, so I guess it's confirmed that Rod and Todd aren't circumcised.
Right.
Ned might be, because his parents might have.
Although they were crazy beatniks.
I'll allow their non-circumcised wieners in this conversation, Steve.
Alrighty. I love in the cafe when Lovejoy demands that the coffee is decaf, and she's like, the rim's orange, ain't it? As if under-tipping makes you forget. Like, I don't know. I like their dynamic, the waitress and Lovejoy. And then Lovejoy saying her sister is sleeping with her husband. Who said that?
I like Kevin is just like a lower down Millhouse.
You're right.
Yeah. Anyways, Marge then bursts into the classroom demanding that her son leaves with her. But Bart explains that they're in a Catholic church where chicks have no authority. Father Sean tries to bring peace, but Lovejoy tells him to back off, Popey LaPoo. Marge tells Homer that though he is physically an adult and what he does in the privacy of his own soul is his own business, she didn't change Bart's diapers for 5 years to see him become a Catholic. As the students look at Bart, which is funny, going back, mm-hmm. I think last week we talked about how Bart has a stinky ass because he doesn't know how to wipe properly. So I can understand why Bart had diapers for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, the students look on at Bart in horror and disgust, and he states that he thought there was a monster in the potty. Again, that's why he doesn't want to wipe. He probably just poops and just jumps out.
Yeah.
His clipper isn't that great of a clipper.
Which probably wouldn't do him too well in Catholic Church.
Oh. Oh. Anyways, Marge then grabs her son by the arm out of the classroom.
Alrighty.
Let's get out of this scene.
Yeah. So there was a scene in Sweet Seymour Skinner's Badass song where Bart was about 2 when he was toilet trained, but this was probably a failed attempt as he probably shat himself for another 3 years.
Anyways, our third act begins with Reverend Lovejoy behind the wheel of the ministry machine, which is an obvious homage to the classic Scooby-Doo and the Gang mystery machine,
mm-hmm.
which I guess I really like that. Makes me think that the, I'll say the Scooby-Doo universe is in the Simpsons universe, and like everyone's dead except for Shaggy, and he needed to sell the mystery machine for drug money. And so Reverend bought it for like $20 and just, you know, repainted mystery to ministry.
Yeah. It's an easy fix.
Yeah. Anyways. So inside the ministry machine, the Reverend looks in the rear view mirror, happy to no longer be followed. But Marge points out they were never being followed in the first place, causing Timothy Lovejoy there to wonder why he drove through that barn. Bart's frustrated with his mother pulling him from church.
Ugh, why did you guys have to take me away? You're always nagging me to go to church, and now that I am, it's the wrong one.
I just don't think your father's the right person to pick out a religion for you.
Okay, I'll pick a religion for me. Judaism. Don't have a cowman, don't have a cowman, don't have a cowman, have a piece of fish. Oi!
Bart, we're here to bring you back to the one true faith, the Western branch of American Reform Presbyterianism.
Hello, Homer.
All right, you bring Bart home now. Once you go Vatican, you can't go back again.
It wasn't a fair fight. Your church suckered him in with gory stories, just like we were suckered into getting Cinemax.
Face it, Marge, Catholics rule. We got Boston, South America, the good part of Ireland, and we're making serious inroads in Mozambique, baby.
Well, I'm gonna show Bart that Protestants can be hip, too. How do you like those croutons?
Oh, why does that woman thwart my sporadic interest in my children? Shouldn't Bart and I be able to choose our own religion if we want to?
Strange as it sounds, Dad, I agree with you.
I like that Ned considered chloroform for the boy. I'm also reminded of one of the greatest religious jokes of all time by Emo Phillips.
Which we've probably talked about before.
Yeah, but when they're talking about the specific brand of partisan-ness,
yeah,
it just reminds me of that. Also, I recently re-listened to that album. It's such a good album.
Yeah, Emo Phillips is, he's still pretty funny on Twitter, too. I follow him if you need a good laugh.
Yep. Marge's ringtone is the theme to Hawaii Five-0. That's fun.
Weird. Or is it just, like, set for just Homer?
You're right. It's probably his ringtone.
Yeah. Because you could do that. I don't know if you could do that now. No one puts on their ring. Does anyone have ringers on their phone?
I don't even know what my ringtone is.
No, I don't, because it's always on silent. But like, remember back in like cell phones, everyone had them, or not everyone does have them, but like right at
people
this,
would spend money on them.
Yeah, in this era, you could buy ringtones. And I think you could probably like on some phones, like, all right, if Steve calls, it's going to be, the Hawaii Five-0 theme, you know. But if my dad calls, it's going to be the Magna B.I. theme. For some reason, it's all Hawaii-based TV shows. If you called, it would have been Rockford Files. There you go.
Happy. I would hope so.
Wait a minute. That should just be my ringtone. I bet I could get that.
Yeah, I'm going to do that now.
Yeah. Did you know that this is the fourth time in the Simpsons family member attempts to convert to a new religion, Steve?
Really?
And Marge, Ned, and Reverend Lovejoy attempt to bring the family back. Yeah, it seems like Homer the heretic, the joy of sect, and she of little faith.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He's churchy, Steve, I tell you.
Ah, churchy. So Lisa goes on to say that everyone should be able to choose their own faith, much like she found religion in the aforementioned She of Little Faith. The actor, better known as playing Qui-Gon Jinn, mocks Lisa, saying that a lot of kids have imaginary friends. Lisa ignores the insult and offers to help them. She knows where Marge and Bart are headed and shows them a flyer for the Protestant Youth Festival, where they put the fun in religious fun. Father Sean is dedicated to finding Bart.
That was another signage I love, the religious one.
We can't lose Bart now that we're so close. If I do, I'll be the worst priest ever. Well, except for, you know.
Now, Bart, isn't this the kind of religion you'd like to be a part of for all eternity?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome, hot off their conversion to Christianity, the band once known as Quiet Riot, Pious Riot!
Come on, feel the Lord, heaven's your reward, we'll get saved.
What's wrong, Bart? You love youth culture.
Mom, a religion isn't cool just because they've glommed onto some crappy rock band from the 1940s.
Hey, we've played more state fairs than the Beatles.
That's right.
So the opening of that clip there with the obvious priest molestation joke.
Mm-hmm.
I think probably at the time when this was... When did those... Yeah, I don't know. I feel like
it was definitely the conversation.
Yeah, probably was controversial at the time.
Yeah.
But not even like joking about it. It's like, should we actually be joking about this?
Right, because it's a lot of trauma.
Yeah. Thank God I wasn't raised in religion.
Yeah.
You had some Catholic, like you mentioned earlier about your dad.
Yeah, luckily my parents were too extreme because my mom was Mormon and my dad was Catholic. So they couldn't agree on either one. So I became nothing, which was what I preferred.
Yeah, I think my dad was like raised Methodist and my mom was raised Catholic, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, it's weird. There's a quote that Bart says towards the end that makes a lot of sense to me.
How about the Pious Riot?
Yeah.
I like it. If you listen to the music, like it just sounds like they haven't practiced.
I know.
Bart calling them banned from the 40s.
I also like the woman on her boyfriend's shoulders flashing the band to show a shirt with Jesus on it.
It's kind of fun there.
I thought it was cute. So Bart tells his mother that she just doesn't understand. Kind of like Will Smith. He has made a sacred commitment to But before he can finish that sentence, he's distracted by a sign that says, "Onward, paintball soldiers." He then runs to the paintball course as Marge smiles. Bart uses cardboard cutouts of Adam and Eve as cover as he hunts down Rod and Todd, hitting Todd over the manger before blasting ropes of paint all over Rod's little face.
Don't you like how the solution for the Catholics is violence?
Yeah.
Anyways, Marge Simpson, happy that one of these dumb things would attract Bart back to her faith. But just then, her trademark hive is hit repeatedly with paintballs.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Father Sean and Homer ride into the festival, ride a motorcycle and a sidecar. Homer wearing a World War One? Yeah, German army helmet with a cross replacing the usual spike on top. So we have a German World War One reference and a Bart drawing swastikas. Okay. He invites Bart to hop in, vowing to show Marge that their god kicks her god's butt. Flanders and Lovejoy join the fray, and the various faithful folk are in paintball standoff, but Bart offers some wisdom of his own.
Easy on the zeal, churchos. I've got something to say. Don't you get it? It's all Christianity, people. The little stupid differences are nothing next to the big stupid similarities.
He's right. Can't we all get together and concentrate on our real enemies? Monogamous gays and stem cells?
Well said, mate. Put her there.
My pleasure. Note to self, have hand re-blessed.
Bard, you've taught us all an important lesson. We Christians have been niggling over details for far too long.
Amen. And I hope that from this day forward, we all learn to take Bart's message of tolerance and understanding to heart.
So, yeah, I like Bart's line about, you know, the small differences don't matter. It's the big, stupid differences that matter.
Yeah, and just like you referenced with Emo Phillips, who did this joke 30 years ago.
Exactly.
And that everyone just knows. I'm not everyone, right. But it's like the whole Christianity religion and all the sex just...
It's silly.
We'll talk about it later.
Yeah.
Hopefully not that much.
That should be the end of the episode, but we jump ahead 1,000 years into the future, where two armies are facing off in a post-apocalyptic world, and they're decked out in metallic gear, but one side has a headgear shaped like Bart's iconic haircut, while the other resembles Bartman.
It's kind of a callback to like some older episodes too, right? Where they do the flash forward. Like I just remember like Bart's the Supreme Court Justice.
Exactly. Yeah.
Scratch movie. Yeah, it's fun. Should we take a break and play that clip and then come back and discuss?
Well, that sounds like a plan. We'll be right back.
We believe that God's last prophet, Bart Simpson, preached a message of tolerance and love.
We believe the holy Bartman preached a message of understanding and peace before he was betrayed by his follower, Milhouse, and pulled apart by snowmobiles until he died.
Eat our shorts! Cowabunga!
And we're back, Steve. Let's wrap up this week's episode with some of our favorite quotes, some of our favorite scenes, maybe an MVJ, and maybe something that we'd want branded on a shirt or a tattoo or on a cross. Weird. Then we'll find out what we're watching next week.
Sounds like a plan.
All right, Steve, let's do our favorite thing we like to do first, and something to put on a shirt or a tattoo or a cape or a robe.
Oh, a robe.
Maybe one of those giant priest cone hats.
Or maybe on your favorite urine-soaked rags.
Yeah, there you go.
So as I mentioned before, my favorite obscure tattoo would be a pair of hubcaps, a pair of Reeboks, and a pair of human eyes. But I don't think I'm going to go with that. And no, Craig, I'm not going to go with the Nazi bomber.
Oh, I was thinking something else that you're actually going to go with. But
no, I'm going to go with the Clear It winner. The shield of Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah. That's what I was referring to.
Of course. He's coaching on a field vert. Who doesn't love that?
I'm kind of jealous because I think that's what I want, too, just because, you know, Spider-Man.
Yeah.
But I think I want, like, it's more of a concept here, but it's the Mystery Machine, now the Ministry Machine. But yeah. I want to convert, like, I know they're not in the scene where Lovejoy and Flanders and Marge and Bart, but I want it to be the Ministry Machine, but I want Lovejoy to look like Fred.
Uh-huh.
Then you would have Ned. I'd want him to look like Shaggy because he's already got the green.
Right. You'd have Santa's little helper in there.
See, that's what I was going to say, but that doesn't make sense. I mean, I know that's the dog.
I mean, you could have Lovejoy's dog, like a St. Bernard or whatever he is. Like, he's a bigger dog, but...
Okay. And then Helen would be Daphne.
Mm-hmm.
Who would be your Velma? Certainly, the internet doesn't want Mindy Kaling, apparently.
Right.
The internet needs to shut up.
Yeah. Also, unrelated to anything.
Is this going to be about Superman?
No, it's going to be about pornography.
Oh, that's the weirdest thing ever, but okay.
Yeah, we get it. You have an orange sweatshirt. Like, I just think that the concept of cosplaying as Velma to be sexy, real played out.
I don't know where this came from, but I was just talking about how, like, people were upset because Velma was going to be played by Mindy Kaling in a voice. Like, but that's Velma's
by
not...
By a voice?
Yeah. It's
who cares?
Yeah.
Like, I don't care if it's live action, but...
And when I said Superman, I was referring to that there's a new Superman reboot in the works, because there always is. And mm-hmm. everyone's thinking, because I forget who the author is, or the author, the screenwriter is. I forget who it was. But anyways, everyone's assuming that he's going to be doing like a black Superman.
Ugh.
And I'm like, that's not bad from you, Steve.
No, I mean.
It's like Superman is a fictional character. He'd be whatever color he needs to be. For
that's
the
what
story.
I went about. Like, it doesn't matter.
Anyways, yeah. Enough about that. But who's our Velma? From this,
oh yeah,
church go. Well, I mean, it would have been Maud, but she's
right.
Dead.
She would have been perfect. I mean, you could do Marge, but
you know, I would still maybe just make it Maud, because again, it's a fictionalized caricature.
Mm-hmm.
I'd go with Maud as Velma.
I think that works well. Yeah,
you know, and I always felt that. I think actually, canonically, now they have made Velma is lesbian, right? Like
probably, yeah.
But as a kid, I always assumed Shaggy and Velma hooked up for some reason.
That's what I always thought. And like, I always like, they always seemed like the more realistic couple to me.
Yeah.
Because Fred and Daphne were boring.
And I always hated it too when Velma lost her glasses. Like all of a sudden her pupils were gone.
I know.
Enough about the Scooby-Doo cartoon. But yeah, so I want the Miniature Machine t-shirt. I think it'd be fun.
I like it. I wouldn't mind a t-shirt with the Bart with the giant rat hanging out of his mouth.
I thought that too. Like, that'd be kind of a funny visual. So let's talk about some of our favorite quotes.
Okay.
Overall scenes.
Yeah. I did like I mentioned before, the scene with Lovejoy and the waitress.
Yeah.
Arguing over the decaf coffee and under tipping. I thought that was fun. I liked Lovejoy in this. He would probably be my MVJ just because he had some fun lines. But we talked about Homer being kind of dumb, maybe a little bit too dumb. And I feel like the writing for him wasn't great in this episode.
Right. Homer was, I mean, the cuckoo bananas talking about George W. Bush, I liked.
Mm-hmm.
I think for another scene too is the when they're doing the montage scene of Homer and Bart doing Catholic things, and all of a sudden they're gangsters from the 30s with Tommy guns.
Yeah.
We got a kick out of that. I mean, I think the only reason why I thought the cuckoo bananas was my favorite line is because that's the one I remembered as like younger.
Right.
Although really, if you think about that, that joke works well no matter what president is in the office.
That's true.
Although I'm trying to think of Obama, but didn't Obama send more troops?
Yeah,
to...
he probably killed more in the Middle East.
Than Bush, maybe. I don't know. And I feel like Trump didn't send anyone anywhere, did he?
Probably not. And so, of course, Trump people are like, look how peaceful he was.
You're right. Oh, man. 2024.
I know.
So he wanted to meet with Kim Jong-un. He was trying to bring world peace, Steve.
Yeah, he's much better.
Didn't Biden send over people to Syria and kill them all or whatever? I read Twitter. I don't know. What are we talking about?
Our favorite quotes.
Yeah. Homer did have dumb lines, but, you know, cheating at bingo. I don't know if I really do have a favorite line from this episode.
Yeah, I understand that.
Let's just review it, Steve. Let's just talk about it. I will say, with visual gags, at least there was great stuff with like the Protestant Youth Festival. We put the fun in religious fun.
Mm-hmm.
I think, yeah, you're right. I think it's the, it's very visually gaggy, whereas lion gaggy. I mean, Bart holding the Bibles and the nails, that would be kind of funny.
Yeah, I did enjoy that scene a lot.
All right. Well, let's just get into it then, Steve. What do you actually think about this episode?
All righty. I guess my biggest question is why? Why are we like doing it? Like, I feel like throughout the 2000s and, you know, for decades, but especially coming upon this time, like, why have like a whole Catholic Church thing just to stir up controversy? I mean, it was nice to like, I'm sure they wanted to like tie in Liam Neeson to something. And, you know, he did a fine job. I don't have any problem with him as a guest star playing that kind of like buddy priest But I don't know. The episode kind of fell flat for me. Homer was too dumb to be fun. Marge was like a jerk. And one of the biggest signs of that is when they're in the paintball court and she goes, oh, one of these dumb things worked. Meaning that she didn't care about her son at all. It just means that she wanted her son to be the same faith as she is, so it's not controversial. Like, it's almost showing that she doesn't show a lot of love for her son, just that she wants him to obey. And that seems gross to me. And yeah, I just didn't have a lot of empathy towards any of the characters, and the jokes were not that great, and there were some shining moments, but all in all, it's kind of a flat episode for me. I do enjoy some of the other religious ones. Like, we reviewed Joy of Sect. We had fun with that one, I feel like. The cult episode was fun.
You mean the one that goes, da-na-na-na-na, leader?
Yeah, out of the way, jerkass.
Yeah.
That was good. And even Homer the Heretic, which is early on, but when he creates his own religion, it's a classic episode. And this one, I feel like, was trying to reignite that excitement, and it just didn't do it for me. So I looked on Yahoo Answers.
Wow.
And so somebody had impure thoughts about a female and acted on those thoughts via masturbation. And the priest told him to do 5 Our Fathers and 10 Hail Marys. So I'm going to say I give this 2 Our Fathers and 3 Hail Marys. So we'll say a 5 out of 15.
Sure.
Yeah.
That was my biggest complaint with this episode, too, was why are we doing let's poke fun at Catholicism in the year 2006? And Marge is totally weird in this episode. Like, there was the episode where Lisa wants to become a Buddhist, which she's like freaks out about, like Eastern philosophy and religions, which is understandable because she's white bread, you know. But this is still like, oh, you want to be a Catholic, but you're still like, it's so blatant, like, well, we still worship Jesus.
Yeah,
we just have different ideas, which again, you know, they kind of comment too in this episode, like Bart's speech at the end is like kind of just like so lazy.
It really
like,
is.
We all worship the same Jesus or the same God. It's like, yeah, all 3 of the major religions in this world.
Yeah. He even seemed frustrated in having to read it. Or like when he's giving his speech.
What if it was Nancy just frustrated because she's...
That's possible, yeah.
A Scientologist. Like,
yeah.
This is going down as like at least maybe one of the top 5 worst episodes we reviewed. I'm going that low.
I think, yeah, I don't think you're wrong. I feel so little towards it.
I'm going to say don't watch this episode.
I think I'm going to agree with you.
What happens a lot of times when we review these episodes, the first time I watch it, I'm not interested in it. And then the second, third time I watch it, I like it a lot more.
Yeah.
This happened the opposite for me. At the first time viewing it, I was like, oh yeah, that's a funny joke. And then going back and analyzing it more, I'm like, oh no, it's not good. Homer is like too dumb. And
yeah.
And I was offended by the Irish beating your wife joke.
Oh, yeah. And also, I just want to talk about like all the stereotypes of Catholic, like the faiths that happen to be religious.
The Hispanic cultures.
Yeah, that was really bad. Like, I mean, I know you can make fun of the Irish and it's fine. As somebody who was of, you know, some Irish descent, go to town. I don't care.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It just seemed like lazy writing. Like, aside from being offensive, it's lazy. Yeah.
And I know that a lot of like the Hispanic, like the Mexican culture is Catholic because that's what happened when missionaries came to the Americas. They wiped out an entire civilization like the Mayans and the Incans, you know. But we're not here to talk about that. But so, yeah, it's probably still better than a Great Fatsby and Scorpion's Tale. Rock you like a hurricane. But yeah, this is those years that I think this is kind of when we're like phasing out of watching The Simpsons.
Yeah, it's funny if you think about the timeline when we were watching it, like our age and like how we were kind of growing out of it in our 20s. But
what when the author of this author when the writer of this episode
yeah
was the same age as we were, or well, we were a little bit younger, but still.
But right, but I think that it speaks more to maybe we weren't actually growing out of the show, because I would still watch The Simpsons today.
Yeah.
But it was just maybe that time, that era was poor.
Right. Well, oh, I guess I'll give it a ranking here, Steve.
All right.
As we mentioned earlier, Liam Neeson was the guest star, and apparently he's hung like an Evian bottle.
Uh-huh.
So I had to Google the size of an Evian bottle, which The assembled product dimensions by length times width times height is a 7.6, this is in inches, by the way, 7.62 by 5.08 by 8.29 inches. Huh. So does that mean the length of the bottle is 7.62 inches long, right?
Yeah.
But where's the 8.29 inches for the height? No, that's the height.
Right.
So
it's not, I mean, there are probably different sizes of Bevia bottles too.
Well, to say, maybe when this quote from, Janice Dickinson, not yeah. Angie. Like maybe this is like back when like Evian water like first like hit the scenes in the 80s, and that's when they dated. And mm-hmm. what goes like the size of like a 2 liter?
Yeah.
Well, let's go with the 7.62 by 5.08
right.
length times width. I'll give this episode I'll give it a 2.84 by 1.27 by 3.86.
Wow. That seems harsh.
Sure. I don't know. Not a fan of this episode.
No.
I think I'm not a fan of religion in general. So
that's kind of a big deal for me too.
And Simpsons, one of the things they do is deal with religion. And I think a lot of times they do a good job. This one was just a sloppy job.
Yeah. I will say that the
a sloppy job, much like the blowjobs Liam probably receives.
Exactly.
Hog so massive.
I will say that the La Osservatore Romano, not Ray, the daily newspaper for the Vatican, praised the episode for talking about issues of the Catholic Church and faith in general, and that Matthew Warburton was like nominated for a writer's award for this episode. So somebody liked it.
So we're dumb then.
I guess. I think that we're smart and religion is dumb.
No, we're dumb.
Okay, yeah. I mean, both things could be true. Religion could be dumb, and we could be idiots.
So what we're saying is, watch this episode. We loved it.
Yeah.
All right. Should we find out what we're watching next week, Steve?
We probably should. And to do that, we're going to need that good old-fashioned Wheel of Random. Let's spin it to see what season we're in. Ba-doop.
We have season 19.
Season 19. Alrighty, and let's give that a spin to see what episode we're watching. Ba-doop.
Woohoo! We have episode 20.
Season 19, episode 20. Why, that's All About Lisa. What happens in that, Greg?
So in a parody of All About Eve, Lisa stabs Krusty in the back, takes his job, and wins a prestigious award. And I guess for story B, Homer and Bart take up coin collecting.
Oh, okay.
Did we write this episode?
Sounds like we may have.
Are we remembering this episode?
I kind of remember Lisa as a clown, but that's about it. I don't remember the coin collecting.
That's funny, because I think I remember the coin collecting over the clown thing. All right, well, it aired in... May 18th, 2008.
Hmm.
Steve, what were you doing May 18th, 2008?
I don't know.
I wouldn't expect you to know what date. You're not Mary Lou Henner, so.
Yeah, Hannah, yeah.
I'll look forward to watching that with you.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right, well, hey, we got a TeePublic site at teepublic.com/user/annoyedgruntboys. You can also contact us on social media at 138simpsons.
And you can always email us at 138simpsons@gmail.com. And if you're so kind, go to your favorite podcatching app and leave us a review. 5 stars or the equivalent, please. But you don't have to write a real review. You can just write us a question or tell us how you think life came to be. What's your God?
For this week, I've been half an annoyed grunt boy, Craig.
And I've been your other half annoyed grunt boy, Steve.
And remember, keep reaching for the skis.
I thought there was a monster in the potty.
Anything's possible with Commander Cuckoo Bananas in charge.